Hello and welcome back to another episode. I am Matt, aka Super Games Bros, joined as always by my partner in crime, Ezra, aka Womprat underscore 2M, as we have watched Halo episode 1.
Right.
We're going to talk what we thought. I feel a little mixed bag on it, but I'm willing to give it more of a chance. Everything, you know, we're going to dive into it. Just straight takeaways. What'd you think of episode 1, Contact of the Halo series?
Honestly, I know there's this mixed sort of reaction out there and people are, it hasn't been, I wouldn't say it's been negative reaction. I think it's just this opening episode. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe people totally didn't like it, but I felt like there was some drama at the end there. And I felt, you know, orders being, one person saying do this, and then Cortana, whoever's saying, hey, do this. Who is that person, by the way? Is that Cortana? Whatever. No. Who is that? Isn't that supposed to? It looks just like her. It's like is it a doctor or something? Anyways,
right?
She's like telling the other team to do something else, and he's on the ship. Like, I don't know. By the end, I really felt like it was cool. Like it was. The beginning's a little boring, you know, but I don't know. I felt like the ending is where I was really hooked and sort of like, what, are they going after Master Chief? Like yeah. They're trying to, you know?
Yeah. So the first thing to take away from this series is that the showrunners for this have stated that they did not play the games or read the books.
You're kidding me.
I'm not kidding. 100%. That was their way of getting into the show. They said verbatim, we did not read the books or play the games.
Oh, so right. Who did they talk to about? I mean, like, how did they? How did they make the references?
So here we go. So let me pull this up here. So showrunner said, this is from Stephen Kane, Halo showrunner, said he didn't look at the game when creating the show. He said it's on its own timeline, which I'm fine with. I'm fine with them. Like the Resident Evil movies did that where they're like, hey, we're going to just do our own sort of take on Resident Evil. And yeah. For better or for worse, some of them were bad and some were kind of like, okay. But towards the end, once they got to like, I don't know, their 15th movie, they kind of had their own universe to stand on. So I'm fine with you doing an original take on it.
Yeah.
So here's what they said. He said they want it to be on its own silver timeline, essentially allowing for the show to diverge from the games and create its own canon and events without interfering with what's already happened. The games weren't much of a concern for the team and didn't factor into the production of the show. He said they didn't look at or think about the games. We didn't talk about the game. We talked about the characters and the world, so it never felt limited by the game. Early on, we were thinking about doing something that could tie very close. We were finding we ended up trying to do it verbatim. And so we felt that we weren't able to sort of create this world. Right. without trying to go in the way, right? We didn't want to try to fit a square peg into a round hole. It's ultimately what they're kind of saying, and that's kind of like the thing leading up to the show. So,
right.
My expectations were pretty low going into this. For a handful of reasons. One, TV or film adaptations of video game properties are almost always terrible. There's really only even a handful that have ever even been like halfway decent, let alone like any that have ever been good. Like the ones that have been sort of decent, like the Sonic movie that came out, which was the highest grossing movie of 2020. Fact. Yeah. It's the highest grossing movie of 2020 because once it was the last big movie to come out before COVID, but nonetheless, I mean, it has that record. It was the highest grossing movie of the year, and it was a video game movie. Sonic movie was okay. Detective Pikachu was kind of like okay, but you know, a lot have just been like the Assassin's Creed movie and the Tomb Raider movies. They've been like kind of sort of okay. The only, to me, the best video game property to exist outside of, you know, video games to come into TV or films, probably Mortal Kombat, the original.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. 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 This, you're right. That's one of the best. So, okay. If it's the expectations weren't high and it's, I don't think it's terrible. You know, I think it's still,
this was okay.
Yeah. This was okay. It felt like there was a good amount of Easter eggs. You know, I didn't play the games a lot. I mean, I played the original
multiplayer
quite a bit. Yeah, the multiplayer quite a bit. As far as the story goes and stuff, you know, I played through it once or twice, and then I was good. But yeah, I got some of the Easter eggs, like the shield, like the noises, the sound, some of the visuals. You know, I was like, that was all really cool, and I felt like that brought, for me anyways, it had that nostalgic factor where I was like, all right, this is, you know, taking me back a little bit, hearing the beeps and the tones, and I thought that was cool. But yeah, as far as the story goes though, I was like, I don't know where this is at or where we're going, right, or what exactly is happening.
Well, they haven't,
I'm glad you said that in the beginning.
Yeah, they haven't really told us. So this is all new. And so I think it's interesting actually to get your perspective on somebody who's got a very limited version viewpoint of it.
Yeah.
Obviously you play the game, so you're familiar with it, but mostly just multiplayer, so you're unfamiliar with sort of the story. And I think that's good, because this show needs to appeal to more than just the video game crowd, which I think the direction that they're going in could do that, by doing their own sort of version and take on it. Really, there isn't much. We're the first part of this episode's pretty action packed. The last half of it's kind of actiony as well. Basically, right, our main number one Spartan, right, Master Chief, goes rogue, essentially. They're at the end after he gets some Covenant, he gets that artifact, right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking for. He gets the Covenant artifact, and he ends up having memories that he shouldn't be remembering, right, of like his own life, and he's gonna go rogue. We did hear about Cortana, right?
Right.
Seems like there's some stuff going on with the USNC. Right.
Oh,
which is, yeah,
I'm confused on that. So this doctor, she is, because for a second her face looked, I was wondering if she was some actor from like, or like, right, a Dunza voice act, because she sounds whatever. But so she's in charge of making, or she will eventually,
the Spartans,
but also the Cortana whole situation.
Seems like, I think so. I think that's ultimately where they're going. Yeah.
Yeah, she walks to that one door, looks in there, and there's that clone like. Isn't that her though? I thought that was like her, like the, what she, right, sees in that chamber felt it was her, like the, right, doctor. So I, that's why I thought, okay, if that's her and she's making Cortana, I was like, maybe she's, you know, making her, I don't know what the heck it is, but anyway, she was told to shut it down, and yeah, she seems kind of like a mad scientist, like she's got her own experiment, she's doing her own thing, and she's got this long leash, if you will, but she's calling her own shots, kind of.
Right.
She herself is kind of going rogue. Like, this is, Master Chief is humanity's greatest weapon and asset and whatever. So she's like talking to, what is it, Silver Team?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Or whatever. Yeah. Like just to bring him in, protect him, all that good stuff. So, and also the way they are loyal to him and they trust his judgment, it's sort of like, yeah, he's figuring out that his memory is being played with, tapped into, etc. So he doesn't know. I think he feels like he's from this first episode, Master Chief seemed to have been awoken by this artifact and is now saying, hey, I don't have all the details. I'm not in possession of all the information. It's time for me to start calling my own shots and doing my own thing here, because I got to figure this out, because it just doesn't seem right to this girl sitting here just eating should, right, not be a threat. And the order comes in to kill her.
Right. Yeah. And it was also interesting. I did like that they gave us that, you know, these sort of rebel groups that live throughout the galaxy that are, you know, basically, hey, we're living out here on outposts and everything, doing our own thing away from the USNC.
Yeah.
And that's how we want to live our life. Now, I do think the opening was the best part of the episode.
Okay.
Oh, and by the way, real quick, yes. So Jen Taylor. So you can see Cortana in the trailer. It is the woman who voiced Cortana in like the first three games is playing Cortana in show. Yeah, so it is the original actress.
Okay, gotcha.
But she's not like blue. I know, she just happens to look a lot like the doctor. But as
looked in that chamber, that wasn't her. That wasn't the doctor. That was actually the actress. Okay, right. That's kind of cool. I actually like that. I like that they bring somebody back from the originals and make that a whole thing, because I think that'll be neat. But you said the beginning. You liked the beginning, though. You thought that was sort of the
So to me, the beginning was the best part, just because it starts out and they're talking about, hey, like I fought Marines and all this stuff, and it's like, wait, I thought these were like good guys, essentially, yeah. Right? I thought it's us versus the Covenant. So then we get the Covenant, who ends up popping in, and oh no, there's another threat out there. And then the Marines, which we've talked about, and the Spartans, you know, that one older guy says like one Spartan is worth like 100 soldiers. So then we get them, they drop in and they start wrecking everything. Now that, when the action picked up, that was like the coolest part. I will say I have one, my biggest complaint about it. Comes in two spots in the opening.
Okay.
One, and this is where you could tell these people did not play the games and did not like sort of know what they were doing. When Master Chief drops down, all right, and he does like the superhero pose, it's like one knee hits down.
Yeah.
And it's picking up. I don't know who was behind the score, but you're just playing this sort of like generic like action theme. How do you not put in like the Halo theme if you have him drop down in the Halo theme, you know, with like Steve Vai on guitar, right? Like,
right,
it drops in and you start playing that, people are going to lose their minds,
right?
TikTok would be blowing up right now,
yes, it would,
like everyone reposting that, regardless of how good the rest of the episode is. That was a cataclysmic miss on their part. Cataclysmic miss. You can never go back and do that again. I don't know who decided that should be the theme they played, but that was a flat out epic. That person should be fired on the spot. Because you just missed out on, real quick, you just missed out on like, that would have been trending on Twitter and YouTube, and everyone would have been so pumped to go watch this.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Your opener is what people are going to talk about. They're going to go out and say, like you have that one shot for the first episode to get a lot of people in checking it out. They want to see, hey, should I stay? Should I invest time in this? Should I keep going? And you're right. That is one of those. Like if they do it in episode two, that's cool, because sometimes people will like, all right, I'll hang around for episode two. But a lot of people just bounced, like they won't stay. So it's critical to have it in there, because maybe I feel like they're going to do it because now he's had this shift, like Master Chief has had this shift, and maybe he's moving more towards the type of character we have in the game or something. But you're right. That's definitely, I didn't even think about it, but
I know
it's kind of a miss. That's a big miss. And I agree. But I mean,
it was still a cool action scene. And this is where I sort of like watching the opening action scene. One, there's two things that don't make sense. For starters, when the normal humans are shooting the Covenant, they don't do any damage. Even the guys on the Gatling guns,
right, aren't doing any damage. Sense. I thought the
which
same
I'm
thing.
Fine with. I'm fine with, because the Marines have bigger, stronger, better weapons. That makes sense. But then when the Marines use the same Gatling gun, they're like tearing them to shreds. So that does not make sense. That didn't add up, and that just totally didn't make sense.
Yeah, it's an in-episode inconsistency. Yeah.
It's an episode of inconsistency. Then my other thing was in the opening action scene, which was sweet. I felt like they sort of kept coming back to this shot of like the first person view of like them, and you can see the guns, right?
Yeah.
And like, that's just not like a typical Hollywood shot. To me, that felt like some stupid executive somewhere was like, well, if you make it look like this, then it'll look like the video games and they'll think it's cool. So like, it almost felt like they were trying to do it in an already cool scene to like make it cool rather than just make something that is cool.
Yeah. Was that the one where you're looking through his helmet, or was that the one where
you're looking through like the Spartans' helmets and the you can visor. See the gun. Right. You can see the gun out in their hands, like shooting people like that, it, like to make it look like a first person.
Like a video
shooter.
Game. Yeah.
See that I didn't like. I felt like that was forced.
Yeah. You know, though, I mean, I can see the other side where some people would be, because you know how people are, right? Sometimes like
wanted to be like the game.
Why didn't you do more, make it more like the game or whatever? So some people that might be a plus, but I get what you're saying. I hate when stuff does feel forced because
what'd you think about it? Obviously,
I thought it was cool when there was, because it's on the ship, he does it too. Like maybe you didn't need it in that action scene. I don't know. Maybe it was cool, but I did like when he was on the ship and you could see like the, almost like what should have been the map, you know what I mean? Like the little circle or whatever. And you're like, oh, wow, that's the, you know, that reminds me of the game a little bit or whatever, because he's in there looking around on the ship. He's actually seeing her. She's got the gun on him and you're looking through his eyes. So I guess if they continue it and they don't just do like a one-off thing where they just did it in the first episode and it kind of goes away, then for sure, I think keep it. If that's going to be your thing and you're going to do it, then you better stick to it. That better not be, like you said, an executive decision to say, just throw this in there one time and let's see how it is. Like consistency matters. I know if you don't like it, it's something that's going to perturb you throughout the thing, you know, so that would be kind of weird. You know what threw me was he took his helmet off. What was going on with that?
I didn't think he was gonna do it. I wasn't expecting that either whatsoever. Yeah.
Well, because is that like, do we ever see that in the game?
No,
I didn't think so.
Yeah.
So yeah, and I maybe it's just to kind of give that actor. We face this in The Mandalorian and stuff, right?
Where I guess like that was a deal in The Mandalorian, is that the only way if you don't show your face, I guess you don't end up being able to get nominated by rewards. And I don't know the actor's name because I totally went into this show like blind. Saw the first trailer. I didn't, you and I, obviously we cover other television shows and everything. We've like done our research and all this stuff, but I was like, I'm going to go into this one just totally blind. But the guy who's playing Master Chief, I like a lot, man. I think he's good. The cast itself actually was good. And like the presentation.
Yeah.
The presentation to me, it's obvious. This is a Paramount Plus show. It just you can tell like, Paramount Plus shows like all feel like Star Trek.
They do. Yeah.
They do.
Yeah. Wow.
They're just not as good of a studio as like Netflix or some of these other things. Right. Like it felt like you could have watched it on like channel 6 or 8 or whatever it is, wherever you live. You know what I mean? Like it felt like a like Wednesday night TV show.
It really does feel like a TV show. It's not like, because we've gotten used to movie like quality in TV shows, and this was totally just your normal TV show, because the acting felt kind of like, there's times you're like, okay, I mean, it almost took me out of it when the girl that plays Quan, she's doing an awesome, fabulous, fantastic job, but then in her normal conversation with Master Chief, it felt really weird. And like,
and her conversation where she's talking about like the girl, the one Marine is trying to convince her to like go public and tell everyone that the Covenant came after you. And
yeah.
Like that, just that scene and like some of the CGI and stuff. I'm just like, this just feels like network television. I don't know. It didn't capture, like even some shows which don't have the budget, as big of a budget, like Netflix and some of these other streaming shows.
Yeah.
It's kind of a Paramount Plus thing. I don't know, for whatever reason, but it's all Paramount shows feel to me like they're the bottom tier compared to their competitors. Like when you watch a Disney Plus show, like whether it's The Mandalorian or WandaVision or something like that, I mean, you're like, this is sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. I mean, I almost wonder too, what was the one show that was The Expanse, which was on a different network, sci-fi, and then it gets picked up by, what was it? Is it Amazon?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. But it feels like this might be something that, I don't know,
it's like that
could be if there's enough fan base behind it where it just pushes it. I know this is just day one. It just came out and everything, so we'll have to kind of see how the weekend goes for it. But who knows? It might need an extra push to get it in better hands or something. Not that I'm saying it's bad, because again, it's just first episode, but you're right. I had to take my expectations from like something like Stranger Things or
The Witcher or Yes.
We're used to real high quality, big budget TV shows now. And it's, this is not as, I don't know what the budget is on this, but it doesn't feel like it's even close to a lot of,
which is ridiculous because Microsoft has way more money than like all these other companies.
Yeah, what are they doing? I mean, Jeff Bezos is out there like funding a Wheel of Time series and like and Halo, which we all love, is
which is Halo's like Microsoft's like baby. I mean, this is, you know, Also, why did they pick? Maybe there was some deal that was struck because I think there was supposed to be like a Steven Spielberg led like movie or something like years ago. And maybe they signed a contract and then throughout the whole deal it ended up getting pushed all around. And then ultimately this is what had to sort of happen.
Okay.
With it. Yeah. But yeah, I will say this though. I mean, you can tell from watching this and having watched a little bit of like Picard and some of the other like Paramount Plus shows, man, they definitely feel, I don't know. I don't mean a jerk, but they just feel like way less quality than, like even like low end HBO Max shows feel way better than this. Just like,
I know.
I don't know. It's just like the feel of this was like, this does not feel like the Mandalorian, which I would say is like you could use as like a competitor.
Right. And so to be fair to it, I feel like if, because again, it's
episode one pilot.
Yeah. And also like if it doesn't have the same budget, they don't have the same type of people going at that. I kind of almost want to look at it slightly differently and just sort of have fun. You know what this reminded me of? This is not an insult at all to this game because I love this show. It's a YouTube exclusive show. It was felt like video game high school a little bit. You remember remember the thing? Like some of the action sequences where they're running around, it felt like those guys, I forget what their Rocket Jump or something studios. Mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, Rocket Jump, yeah.
Yeah. It felt like they had recorded some of the action sequences out in that circular area where you're going back and forth between stuff. I mean, a slight uptick in budget, clearly, but compared to that stuff, but it just had a different type of feel. And you know, the acting is, I don't know any of these actors yet, and so it's interesting to watch like Master Chief without us. So that's Pablo Schreiber, I think.
Schreiber.
Pablo Schreiber, yeah. And he said, like, he came right out, and there's interviews and stuff out already where he's talking about Master Chief without his armor. And how, you know, that it's a deliberate effort to kind of by the showrunners to show like a more human side of Master Chief in the super soldier, and to get that connection, because it feels kind of cold. Maybe if you're a video game player and you're going through it, like, I don't know, though, there's a lot of emotion in Halo, and there's some cool stuff, but it's the cast around him and the respect and the way they interact with Master Chief that, you know, you don't need that direct characterization. You get it indirectly through the characters and how they interact with him, which makes him cool. And his decisions are really important. But yeah, and it's just different. They're going for a different approach. So.
Yeah. And we're one episode in. And I guess like for me, I gave this episode a 6 out of 10 on Twitter after I watched it this morning, mostly because it just felt sort of flat to me. Like, not that the episode itself is like really bad or that the show is bad or going to be bad. I think you typically know whether you're really going to like a show or not by about like episode 4, you know, of like a 8 or 10 episode season. So, I mean, like, there's a lot of potential. I mean, I definitely feel like this show as a whole has a lot of potential. Whether we're going to get anywhere close to that sort of potential in season 1, which is another thing I do. Is I'm always willing to give a show 2 seasons just because, okay, like, you have to do it and then you get feedback. And this is what we like, this is what we did. And what do you do in season 2 to fix your mistakes? It's like a rough draft, really.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. What's impressive, and I'm just reading it, if you guys get a chance, and I'm sure as you watch it, you're going to form your own opinions about it. But when you go read some of what the actors are saying, so this Pablo, I'm going to butcher it again, Schreiber.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Something like, he's coming out kind of saying like, he really feels fortunate for the opportunity. This is a big career moment. It's all these different things, right? To play this lead. And he's talking about the responsibilities and how he feels and how he wants to set the tone and all that kind of stuff. So although the showrunners maybe went at this kind of not blind, like, is there a lore expert? Is there somebody diving into the lore? Because they definitely had some stuff going on with Miranda Keys and the doctor and her father. And then they had some other stuff with the prophet of mercy and the high council. So they, I mean, clearly they've got, I don't know. I just kind of wonder. You know,
the covenant looked cool. They looked like they should. I thought they looked. And then he did talk a little bit about the flood, which I was like,
ooh, that's cool.
Remember Master Chief said something about that? Like after he touched the thing, he said something about like the flood is out there. And it's like, okay. Yeah. So like there were definitely some moments of like, ooh, this could be cool.
Yeah, which is awesome. I want to get into the lore and the story. Again, it actually kind of made me, whenever something like this comes out, because I'm kind of a story guy, but I really didn't get into the story when I was playing Halo. I just we were playing Capture the Flag.
Yeah. Also, the scene where go ahead.
No. Just that, like, I want to learn more about the story. That's it. I'm hoping I know it's different. I know it's gonna be different, but still, tell me something. Give me some of those lore connections.
The scene where the big action scene at the beginning where. Excuse me, the Covenant guy opens up the like storage shed where all the little kids were at.
And he's just,
I was like, wow, they're going for it.
They are. I mean, people, that was like the brutality at the start was very intense. I mean, it felt like people got hit with plasma and they just were like gone.
They looked great. The swords.
That did look cool.
And I will say the Spartans, like, because they're wearing these like big suits. I mean, as an actor, you got to wear this like big suit, or it's like an all CG or whatever.
Yeah.
Like the world they've created does feel. Comment here too. Yeah, from J-Rock leaving us a comment here on Twitch, saying there was a glimpse of the flood in one of the trailers. That's what I thought too. Remember, we did a trailer breakdown, and I thought I had seen that as well. But I will say the plasma, like the energy sword, you know, the shotgun, like all of the weapons, the pistol, everything did look good.
Yeah. And when the Spartans are walking, like when they're doing like just they showed a lot of their feet or like their lower body, torso, even just shots, like when they were moving, it felt like they're in the suits and it didn't feel like clumsy and laborious or whatever. So they got that right. They definitely got the sword right. That, you know, people would be killing the show if they wouldn't have got, like, if that looked bad, people would have been losing it, right? So those were a couple good things where felt right, looked right, all that good stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, so I'll pull up some of the things people are saying about it. So IGN, who I always love to pull them up because sometimes I'm on polar opposite sides as them. And so they gave it a 7. I felt like episode 1 for me was a 6, but I do feel like I'm definitely like want to see more before I really give like a final judgment, obviously, about the show.
Yeah.
You can't judge it off one episode, because I did feel like the episode, it felt like the opening scene was cool, felt like a little flat the rest of it. I just watching it, I wasn't like, ooh, I'm like,
yeah, we didn't get you hyped. Right.
Super into this. But like when I watched Peacemaker episode 1, I was like, hey, this is cool. And then I'd watch episodes 2 and 3 and I was like, all right, I'm in. So, you know, it takes a few episodes.
Right.
Now Peacemaker is like one of my favorite shows ever. I'm down to watch it like again and again.
Right. That's one of the things when you have everybody's going to come out. They're going to run out for episode 1, talk about it, etc. And they're just trying to set the stage. So, I mean, because it could come out with like it could be a banger episode 1, and then they want to do kind of like, all right, now let's sort of settle down, settle into this in episode 2, and then people, you know, get upset by that. Like, well, now they've lost their, you know, steam. You got to, like Matt said, you got to give it 2, 3, 4 episodes and give it a fair chance. So because.
Yes. So here we go. So IGN gave it a 7. They said, while the Halo series struggles to capture the dynamic action of the games, the first episode succeeds in building a compelling narrative that forges its own path. You know, they some more just stuff. So that was their review. So they said, you know, given how integral the massive battles are between humanity and the Covenant, are to are to the appeal of the Halo franchise, the lackluster action in the Halo premiere is a cause for concern. However, the series gets enough right on its first outing to make up for that shortcoming. As much as the premiere focuses on capturing the iconic weapons and technology from the games, it also shows a willingness to move its story in dramatically different directions. This is hardly a one-for-one adaptation, and that's really the show's best selling point right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's good. That's good. Yeah. And I'm just going through some of the Easter eggs here and trying to look at some of the things that it did right, because I know, like Matt had said, for him, it came out kind of flat. IGN's just slightly higher than where he's at, but it did do. And you know, has some continuity to the games a lot, actually. I mean, the Phantom in the beginning dropping down there was cool. Sweet. The sound
ship looks good. The Warthog. Yeah. It's all like one for one, which is great. That, like, that's one of the things, you get that right, and that will get you, you know, that's helps a few us, points right there.
Right. It helps us get into that world. You know, when he was touching the artifact and they play that kind, like your classic Halo theme or whatever, that music kind of comes in. I was like, all right, that mystery is sort of back as to what is this and where are we going to go with the whole thing, which was cool. And I know it's a little... It's a bit sort of we jumped to the Covenant, which was cool. Like, they didn't hide them for a while. Like, you got right in their face. And I don't know who this person is, but it's the like human like character among the Coven. That can like
Covenant. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what's it, make Maquis or something like that?
I'm unfamiliar. I think that's a new, because I played Halo 1 through 3 and I haven't. And Reach. I played Halo 1 through 1 through 3, ODST and Reach. I didn't play 4 or 5, or haven't played Infinite.
Right. So, and I just said real quick. So you're right. It's later on, is a member of the was orphaned as a child, raised by members of the Covenant. As such, she came to share in her caretakers, you know, compassion or competence for humanity. Interesting. She didn't seem like it. She seemed really standoffish. Not really sure exactly, but there's not much on her, but she's there. She's apparently since 2019. Some notes on.
So, okay. So just looking at some stuff here on Twitter, see what people are saying. So here's somebody who really liked it. Said season 1, episode 1, the opening action sequence of this episode is phenomenal. It's gory, emotional, and so badass. Pablo Schreiber, whatever. We'll have to look up his name. He's incredible as Master Chief. I agree. Yiren Ha is fantastic as Quan Ha. Natasha is great as Dr. Halsey. I'm sold. 10 out of 10. So just some pictures. I mean, like this shot right here, like just to kind of pull this up here. I mean, yeah, like Master Chief in the suit, you know, it's 117. Like they've definitely got the look down, which is again why I'm like, yeah, this show's definitely got some promise.
Yeah, it does. And I also went back up real quick. I was totally wrong. That character that I just mentioned, not at all in the games. So
that's what I thought. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, because I was 2019 is when, you know, was first kind of rumored or confirmed they were going to do that. So this is, so now I'm sitting here going, I have no idea.
Yeah.
So where we're going to go.
Here's a GIF, right, of what we saw earlier, like him fighting and stuff like that. This has been around for a bit from the original trailer, but
real close to hit with the sword.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it looks cool. Yeah, you get to see him without the helmet. Right. Boom. There's definitely the show has, I still feel the same way about it, I guess. It's like, it's got promise. Like potential. Not promise. It has potential, I should say.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a cool show. Like overhead shot of them walking in and everything. And this whole division, you know, you feel like we're the bad guys right now, which is interesting. They immediately put me off with that. I thought we were supposed to be the good guys. And so Quan's father, like, sort of, they have like this moment where you think she's going to help them and she's going to be like, yeah, we're all good. But then she doesn't, like the Spartan Master Chief, like, kind of gives him a nod, the leader of that village. And it felt like, okay, all is well, but no, there's a whole lot more going on in other worlds. So it's just because I'm intrigued by the story. So they've got me wondering, you know, where this goes and what it's all, going to result in, you know?
Yeah, here's a negative review. Only 17 minutes into the first episode of Halo, and I'm more disappointed in this show than my parents are in me.
Wow.
So, okay. You know, this is just Twitter. So, you know, it's some people are trolling, you know, whatever. Some people,
yeah.
Some people really like it. I will say I do feel like I've seen more people enjoying it on Twitter today than I did people saying they didn't like it. So I actually think I think I'm in the minority where even like with a 6 out of 10, I haven't seen anybody be like a 2 or a 1, like this show is trash.
Oh yeah. I haven't either. I was just doing a couple, looking up what like kind of Collider, Den of Geek, Game Rant and others said about it. So, and they're all, you know, it's around that anywhere. It's ranging from 6 to 7. Yeah. So not necessarily 8. But that's okay. That's okay. Yeah. Gosh, man, I want to go back and play the games now. It definitely has me wanting to get back into it.
On Rotten Tomatoes, it has a 57 with an audience score of 68. So the audience score of 68 is right where I sort of felt like I was.
Yeah. Gotcha. Dude.
Okay. Well, I think we can probably close it out there, Ez. Doing some hangouts here live everywhere. This is a lot of fun. I mean, we'll probably say live on TikTok and we'll move on to talking about some other stuff here. But for those of you guys watching on Twitch, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, thank you guys all for hanging in, checking out. Be sure to check out all of our podcasts, all of our other projects as well. We now have link trees on all of our social media, so it makes it super easy.
Go click on
those. You can find me anywhere on the internet at Super Gains Bros. You can find Ez anywhere on the internet at WompRat_2M and now have links to all our projects. So for everybody who came out, hung out with us tonight, thank you guys. We are currently live on TikTok, so you guys come hang out with us over there. And guys, we will see you next time.